Hello, welcome to Talking in Stations, a podcast about EVE Online. I'm your host, Matterall, the co-host, Carneros.
Good morning.
How you doing, Carneros?
Fantastic, thank you.
I know both of us have been busy, me from the Northern Coalition side of things and you from the Bastion side of things.
That's part of the fun. It's been a fun week. It's been a great weekend.
Yeah, it's super packed. Like, what happened since our last show is unbelievable amount of things. But if I look back at history of, say, the Summer of Rage, when we went back and did an investigation on how much time that actually was, it was only like 2 or 3 months. So it's really amazing how much can happen all in 1 week.
Amen. Don't bring up the Summer of Rage.
Okay.
I was on the other side of the fence in those days. Oh, and it was, yeah, scary.
All right. Well, to come with us along this truncated show because of the World Cup, congratulations, France. We have a special guest from France, Sebastian St. Frusken.
World champion.
World champion, Sebastian. You are from COG.
Congratulations.
Is that right?
Félicitations.
Merci beaucoup. And yes, I am indeed from CO2, Circle of Two Alliance.
Well, fantastic. It's nice to meet you. I've heard a lot of really nice things about you. We also have with us today one of my favorite guests, Sister Bliss. How are you doing?
Hey, Matterall. Pretty good. Thanks, mate. Nice to be here.
Right. And he is the leader of
the initiative.
I'm trying to blank. The initiative. Yeah. I drew a blank there, but the initiative.
Yeah, I often forget myself sometimes. Don't worry.
I knew it. I just couldn't get it from my thoughts down to my language box.
This is going to be a fun show.
Yeah, we're all really tired. All right. So a couple of things. One is, again, the World Cup has just ended. We at Talking In Stations have been watching it the whole time that it's happened. So it was very exciting to see it coming to an end. That's why we're starting an hour late. But inside the game, wow, are things really popping off? Where do we start? Let's have a discussion about that.
We titled this show in our notes, Four Keep Stars. You're going to think maybe you're on one of those real estate shows from Home and Garden Television. The young suburban family has to move to a new solar system and they're going and looking at all the keep stars. It's going to feel like that, but it's about Eve.
Right. So before the four keep stars, which we'll talk about, and we'll just preview that. One is a keep star that was dropped by the Imperium in the north. The second one is the keep star that was destroyed in the south that belonged to Test. But the other two keep stars are the ones that was saved that belonged to CO2 in the north. And one that was covertly dropped in CVA space of Providence during the destruction of the test one. We'll get to that a bit later. But those are the four keep stars.
Two onlines, one destruction, and one save.
And kind of an unlikely save too, right? Well,
it was a surprise to some, but I think it was a surprise to the military planners and not a surprise to the hardcore logistics guys that do a lot of work in the background and never get any credit and can occasionally look at what's going on and shake their heads. Those guys knew. But
yeah. Right. And so the last thing I'll say in this introduction is that we have been covering it full steam at INN with a lot of live coverage for hours and hours and hours. So check that out if you get a chance. There's a ton of material there. And there will be throughout this war. All right, to our guests. Sebastian, CO2, you guys had a keep star that immediately got threatened. What happened there?
We still have, no need for the past tense. I know we lose keep star often, but this one is still alive for now.
You referenced the old, the first keep star to be destroyed in EVE Online that was actually defended was the CO2 keep star.
Indeed, when I was there. Yeah. But anyway, as for the failed Keepstar, what happened, I think, is rather simple. Gunswarm and their allies, Imperium, as they call themselves, came in US time zone and shot it in Reinforce. So it came out of Reinforce on a Saturday, European prime time, which is more or less the best time to get everyone in EVE involved. So, yeah, more or less everyone that mattered was involved and active, even if there was no fight. There were, I think, about 5,000 people, all told, involved in these operations. No shots ended up being fired, but still, it was a pretty tense afternoon.
Yeah. We were trying to figure out, Carneros, we were trying to figure out, like, who knew about this and who didn't know about it. And there's a lot of like smoke about that. Nobody wants to say who knew about that tactic and who didn't.
Well, first of all, you have to remember that if you don't play Eve a lot, you don't know that espionage is a big deal in this game. And there are people watching everywhere. So each team, as they set up to attack or defend something, doesn't want to share their plans with the rest of their own team, even, because they assume that there are spies listening to what's going on. So there'll be a little strategic committee at the top that does the planning and talks to each other. And they're the only ones who really know what's going to go on. And everyone else is sort of trained to go along with the plan and do what they're told and don't ask too many questions. Unfortunately, that means sometimes that the people who are doing the military planning don't have all of the specific areas of expertise that they need to achieve their goal.
But in a way, this is why you normally have the people with expertise as, I would say, advisors, to the people in, prepare the military plans. At least that's how that was supposed to work. I was in CFC for years, and I was part of some operations like this where I was on the, I would say, in the know part of the operation. And the communication between the people that know specific game mechanics relevant to an operation on the military planner was always key to the success of such operations or their failure because of a lack of communication. So I cannot help but think that there was a communication breakdown somewhere, because there has to be people that were aware of this game mechanic, which is, after all, a pretty simple one. A sinusoidal system jammer uses only power grid, and it has always been the case that you can online a module that uses only power grid on a tower, even if it's not in force.
Well, that's the thing, though. It caught a lot of people, even on live stream. Boat was surprised. ProGuide was surprised. The guys in the north acted like they knew about it all the time, and that's partially true. But it was also, I believe, when it happened, it was kind of a question of would it work. So I'm not sure they were as sure about it working than they lead everyone else to believe. But okay, let's actually go back a little further in the week before we get into this very interesting fight that happened over the CO2 Keepstar. We start out last week, as soon as we finished, Test had a State of the Alliance where they said we're formally friends with the Imperium. Sister Bliss,
blue,
is that?
Blue diplomatic relations, yeah.
Right, bluing up. So in the game, if your allies, you see your allies as blue on the screen. And so that's when they say blue donut or blue up or, whatever take on blue. But Sister Bliss, were you like, is this the kind of stuff you involve yourself with? Or as the CEO of Initiative, is this not something that you worry about?
I don't really involve myself in it too much, to be honest with you. At some point it becomes inevitable, but it's one of the grotesque parts of the game you have to deal with, I'm afraid. But what can you do?
What do you enjoy?
I enjoy upsetting a lot of people. It's the only reason you get to still shoot people, isn't it?
Well, some people like to build stuff together. I don't know.
Although I upset a few people today, so I got warned about giving people death threats. I think I want to give them a good warning about that, so I'll pay attention.
Oh, we got to dig into that. I don't know what you're talking about, but it sounds interesting. Haiwantu being a FC from Snuff.
From Snuff, yeah. He was only kidding.
Good. Well, you guys are allies, so it's only natural.
Yeah, so as soon as I answer your question, I don't really get too much. I mean, I get involved here and there, but the daily machinations of kind of deploy stuff I leave to, a great team of people who take care of all that noise and chaff for us. But yeah, I mean, the larger scale politics, does come into play. And again, I wish the game supported less of that. It's kind of frustrating that you have these massive coalitions, but it's hard to stop it.
Yeah, it really has led to pretty intense concentration of players at least in NullSec, into, you know, very few corners. But that would be an interesting discussion for another time, is how the politics kind of gets in the way of sometimes the gameplay. Well, to carry on, Carnero, so we were looking at the test made Imperium Blue, and Imperium made test blue in return. That was confirmed a bit later. Not really a big surprise, but then immediately Imperium says we're going north, away from the southern combat zone. And so they move some heavy-duty assets up north, right? Like the entire armor super capital fleet.
Well, and it's funny, too, because if there's a game mechanic that says the maximum fleet size is 250 pilots. So when we move a fleet that big, it means that we have to, it ends up meaning you have to move something like 7 or 8 fleets, because you're going to end up doing one main subcap fleet to protect the capitals and super capitals that are moving. And then you're going to have one overflow fleet of the subcap pilots that wanted to get in the first one but couldn't because it was already full at 250. So then they get in smaller ships that are faster and can maybe kill tackle, and they'll get in a second fleet. And then you'll get, you know, a carrier's fleet and a dreads fleet, and then you get a shield supercap fleet, and then you get an armor supercap fleet, and then you get an overflow armor supercap fleet. And in this case, we had a second overflow armor supercap fleet.
Yikes.
And then, and you have to get all these, you have to get an FC, a fleet commander, for each one of those fleets. And then you have to get them all talking to each other in a special channel, and it ends up being crazy. If they ever invite you up to the command channel, just say no.
What happens up there?
It's in the loud, champagne room, it's pandemonium. It's like all the worst things you could imagine backstage at a rock concert.
Oh, but we can imagine some pretty bad things. Well, so that's how many ships are we talking about? It's over, what is it, 320 Titans? 400 supercaps, like super carriers. Does that sound right? 401, I think. I had it written down, but it's somewhere else. But we're talking hundreds and hundreds of the biggest ships that the game has to offer, all flying together up north.
Yeah, it was a lot. I don't think we broke 300 Titans for the Keepstar onlining, but we did for the Circle of Two jammed reinforcement. Sorry about the kids in the background.
Oh, it's all right. We love kids. You can see mine behind me. He's playing
really
Fortnite.
Hard on the Rorqual mining back there. I love how he focuses and doesn't take his eyes off the drones or local.
Right. So, okay. So the Imperium moves north, for those of you that have not caught up to things. And when they get up there, they immediately put down a keep star. And they do it within 5 jumps, or is it 7 jumps, of CO2's keep star. So it was kind of a bold move, because this is clearly in an area that can be attacked by the northern combined fleets that have a lot of super capitals and stuff. And so there's a showdown.
Changing the feeling of the area up there if you're flying around as a pilot, because you've got two sort of what you'll call a super cap areas of influence that are hostile to each other and overlap. And that causes like a rise in dramatic tension in the area. And it means that any engagements between the sides feel like they have the potential to escalate to bigger ships and bigger ships, all the way up to, you know, and in your mind, people picture a second BTAC-R, even though, of course, if it happened again today, it would feel different than the last one because of game mechanic changes and scale.
Yeah, right. So, see, Sebastian, you're active in CO2. What was it like when Imperium moved up north so quickly?
Well, this might sound strange for me, but since CO2 reformed, it has been my expectation that due to the grudge between Gunswarm and CO2, that they would come for us at some point. And I would say that every day they did not was another day. Because also, once they finally decided to move against us, I was like, okay, this is it. We have been expecting that. Let's see what we can do about it. I cannot really tell for the line numbers because some of them are old CO2 numbers, some of them are pretty new, so their reactions were pretty different depending on their background. But for us in leadership, this was not really a surprise. I would say the one surprise we had is that we were looking at the map on this, trying to see where they would go on the deployed. And there were different possibilities. And as you said, this was probably the most aggressive one in 6RCQ that gave, exactly like you said, the overlapping supercapital umbrellas and so on and so forth, with high potential for decision engagement early in a campaign. And in a way, this is very unlike the way that Gunswarm has done wars in the past, where they tended to go step by step, slowly forward, secure on Nara, move forward, secure, move forward, rinse and repeat. And it gave me the feeling on Fusers that they were going for a headshot, which is something hard to accomplish that has been attempted lots of time in EVE, but rarely successful. I cannot be sure that it was their intention, but that was definitely the feeling we got.
Yeah, it's a very interesting point you make that this is unlike their usual nature of being cautious and getting a little building on victory after victory. This was a big, bold push. Why do you think it was this way?
Oh, you would have to ask them, but we have lots of theories about this. To have a good guess, we would need to know who is actually calling the shots. Was it a decision from the Mitanni himself, who is a master politician metagamer? Was it a decision more from the FC teams? Were they all together in this? Were there disagreements between them on this and on the way to prosecute this war? I don't know. I am not in the CFC anymore. But maybe they smelled an opportunity because of summertime, less activity. Maybe they smelled an opportunity because of the deployment of Pandemic Legion on Terror Supercap Wing to the south, which removed a significant part of the Supercap force in the north. And it's pretty clear that this day, the Supercap fleet and especially the Titans are the key to any Supercap fights. Maybe there were some egos involved. One of the theories that ran rampant at some point was that we had a few fights before the move between the Goon Ishtars that were already in Extac 7 from Space Violence and CO2 Munins that were brand new doctrines. And CO2 did reasonably well in these fights. One of the theories was that it annoyed the Goons maybe so much that they decided, like, yeah, Ishtars are not working, let's bring the Titans. Frankly, I don't believe that was the reason, but it's amusing to think about it. And we need to amuse ourselves in these circumstances.
Yeah, amusement is good. Well, Sister Bliss, do you know anything about why such an aggressive move right off the bat?
You know, kind of disappointing, I'll be honest with you. I mean, we spoke for ages about this, and we were in putting keeps us straight into CW Dash, you know, literally right up there, right in the mouth. But yeah, it was some kind of...
Uh-oh. I think the black hand is muffling your voice, or is that just me? Can everybody?
No. It sounds like a cyborg to me.
Yeah, it sounds like you're losing your bandwidth or something.
All right, let me just go back up to the back upstairs.
There you go. You sound better.
Is that better?
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
All right. So I don't know where you got to that, but I mean, we spoke. We, you know, obviously these things are, you know, planned for months in advance, as everyone knows, right? So we were originally going to drop that keepstar right off the nose of the DW Dash stager. But there were some last minute things and we ended up just dropping it in 6RC. So, you know, kind of people were a bit disappointed by that.
Oh, why were they disappointed?
Well, people wanted it right on the nose, you know, right in the face. They wanted a big showdown.
Right in the same system kind of thing?
Yeah, that's what people wanted.
That's actually what I heard was going to happen. It was going to be right in the same system. But I heard erroneous system. I thought they were going to put it in X-47 for some reason, but that was totally wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that's also another option.
So part of it is that you feel that confident.
Well, the game's kind of boring, isn't it? You've got to put some stuff out there. It's kind of everyone's tiptoeing around. I think it's that time where you've just got to get some fights down.
Put it on the line. Okay. Well, my theory of that is that this is a different kind of war. They don't want the territory. They want to inflict as much damage as possible to make PL retract back into the north, therefore taking pressure off of Test. So this is a counteroffensive from the south. And so this is not about gaining anything. It's about mass. It's just about destruction.
I'm sure that's one of the motivations, but I think there's another motivation that says, let's make Eve really exciting right now. Let's make, let's stir up our members to play. Let's stir up our members to play and log in and get excited and get into this war. Let's attract former players back with news of the war. And then also let's get some news coverage for EVE Online, a cool space game, and get more people to come in and try it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if you can do that with a little bit more dramatic flair, and yeah, maybe it costs you a couple Titans that, you know, something delve time units, we can replace them quickly type thing. I don't know. Yeah. There's a little bit of hubris there that, oh, we, you know, because you can only pull Titans out of cookers so fast. But, you know, maybe the Mitanni has a stack of them somewhere in a hangar. I don't know. I don't. But then we'd... then, you know, let's be dramatic, spend a little bit, raise the excitement level, maybe have more fun.
Well, I think you hit it. It's they're feeling pretty comfortable even losing Titans to sacrificing Titans at this point because they're so financially.
You guys have done that too recently. You've deliberately synoed in suicide Titans as a dramatic point. I've seen it.
Three.
If I may say something?
Yes.
Basically, what you're trying to say is that this war is a, quote, public service, end quote, to Eve, to the health of the game, and so on and so forth. And excuse me if I'm bored, but I don't buy that for a second. You don't deploy thousands of caps and supers to make the game fun, because even if I and some others like big super cap fights, they are mostly an idiot tired eye fest that most people that came out of say never again. This is not this fight that makes the game fun. I mean, most people that play the game will tell you they have way more fun in a fight like we had earlier today with the Cerberus from Goons against CO2 Munins, or between Ishtars and Serbs or whatever doctrines, as long as the game is manageable, right? And you can do these kind of campaigns and operations. I mean, Space Violence was there. You don't deploy caps and supers for fun or for the health of the game or for any other reason like that. This is bullshit. Excuse me.
No.
This is bullshit. You deploy caps and super as an extermination tool. You want to exterminate someone. Because I don't think PL is going to be drawn back just because you push on Circle of Two. Circle of Two is not PL. We don't even have very deep links with PL. This, as I see it, is purely and simply an extermination campaign against Circle of Two first, maybe GOTG behind. Nothing more, nothing less.
I think it's more ideological. I mean, it's basically, you know, it's basically putting a statement out there that says people who play this game, they do not want to see the gradual, you know, unstoppable spread of the blue donut. I mean, nobody wants those kind of people playing the game, right? The people who blew anybody up.
So you deploy the biggest super cap fleet in the game, which cannot be fought.
It's people standing up and saying, we don't want to play this scene. We don't want these people playing the game. We don't want these people who blew the whole map and, you know, drag everybody into their war with them. It's, you know, it's more against the spirit of it, Sebastian.
Also, it's not like we're targeting CO2 specifically. I think it's we are headed for NC.DOT, but unfortunately, you guys are in the middle, in between. If you were still in Vail, you wouldn't be a target right now.
If you could just step aside, well,
those things are so hard to move. But we literally can't attack NC.DOT right now with a foe as powerful and well entrenched as Circle of Two in between.
Actually, can I just make a call?
Thank you. I will take that as a compliment.
There. I mean, I've got to call this. I think you know, people in the background are demanding I call this out. So literally 2 weeks ago, we deployed a Fortizar into our own territory, into Zendesh Y and in its space. And the immediate response from our neighbors, who up until now we've had a nice little skirmish and exchange with, was to literally call in the whole of the North. So, I think you can't really say those sorts of things, without being called a hypocrite, Seb.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if you're going to call the whole of the North to come and attack a Fortizar and in its space, and then say, well, actually, why is everyone unfair?
Or, come back to the mic.
It's we're not picking you up, Bliss.
Okay, no worries.
Oh, now we are. So whatever you did,
say it again. Call, you're calling us out for do what?
No, I was saying it's I was just calling out the hypocrisy of in deploying a Fortizar in their own space and then CO2 responding by calling in all these entities who they quote unquote do not have relationships with, as just being part and parcel of why I feel so strongly about this sort of underlying behavior by entities.
You said yourself this entire thing has been planned for months. You cannot say this Fortizar is not part of the plan. It's strategy placed for the ease of movement of your force. So it was part of the push to the North. On the mere fact that the North responded, don't say we don't have relations with them. We have relations with them, obviously. We live more or less in the same area of space. But the North responded because they saw it as a threat to the North. So you cannot say it was just, it's just initiative putting a Fortizar in their space. No. It's not just initiative putting a Fortizar in the space. It's initiative putting a Fortizar in the space that is going to be used then as a first stepping stone toward the North. And everyone in the North saw that. Everyone in the entire game saw that. And of course, people reacted accordingly.
It's good that we understand that.
I'm sorry. I think your mic is being jammed out by CO2.
Yeah, I got this jam. I got this weird buzzing noise here. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, that I stole that joke from Cal Oaks here in chat. All right, so this is funny because this is the nice show, and we have two of the nicest guys in Eve, the most powerful nice guys in Eve, and they have a serious disagreement, and they are very gentlemanlike when they argue, which is really neat. Okay, but I am actually very much in Sebastian's corner. I feel like this is definitely a campaign to do as much damage as possible and to settle some old debts if possible. At the same time, pulling pressure off of the South if they can. But I don't think it's publicity for CCP during the summer when everybody's on vacation. I think that's a nice way to look at it as far as like all of us as players trying to do something good for the game, just like we're here doing a podcast for the game. But Carneros, your good intentions are noted.
Thank you.
Okay, so... So Imperium anchors this keep star, and a huge showdown happens, and that is, but Imperium wins that showdown, and the keep star does anchor in 6 RCQ TAC V. That is Cloud Ring and Fade. Again, that's 7 jumps from the keep star that belongs to CO2, which immediately comes under attack, and is knocked into armor. Now, I think it was a strategic decision because you ended up having parallel situations where the test keep star is going to be destroyed at the same time almost that the CO2 keep star is about to slip past armor into its own final timer, which was a very interesting move. Was it? I don't know if that was on purpose, but I thought it was pretty interesting.
They had scanned and knew what the timers and things were. So it was a plan. It wasn't accidental. There were only so many plans available. Do you want to move everything to the east? Do you want to try to split and do two things at once? Or, do you want to open a second front in the north? That's my ideas of the basic approaches you can take. And I don't think any of them would have necessarily surprised NC and PL and Circle of Two. They would have been prepared for anything we did. I don't speak for the military decisions of the other people.
Well, that's right. So the keep star belongs to CO2 is in DW TAC T2I, and that's in Fade. The Imperium keep star is on the border of Fade and Cloud Ring. And funny enough, right behind that CO2 keep star is a second keep star in DO6. And that is also a forward operating base for the North. Probably belongs to Guardians of the Galaxies, actually.
Correct. It's a GOTG keep star that keeps there for military purpose, basically.
So what we have here is a very interesting situation because maybe for the first time, we have two super cap umbrellas or spheres of influence on the map overlapping in a significant way. They're close to these two keep stars with an intense amount of players and ships.
And I will point out that in 2018, some of these Titans and super carriers that you see involved in this are very, very new ships by not very experienced pilots. They acquired them relatively quickly with modern construction techniques and skill injectors and stuff, and didn't spend years invested in building this thing as a group. So they might be more willing to do dumb things with them, more quick to be tackled, and then have escalatory consequences based on that as well. There's a lot of super caps in one relatively small area right now.
What can go wrong?
Everything.
Well, I mean, this is a situation that does mirror, and I know we've had the situation before since BTAC-R, but this is what happened in BTAC-R. You had this much hardware in vicinity in a pretty easy jump range of one another. And you had aggressive maneuvers, which is what we're seeing now. Not to say there's another BTAC-R. I know a lot of people are waiting for the next BTAC-R, but I think the kind of stuff you're seeing now is much bigger than BTAC-R, frankly. The numbers you're seeing of Titans is much bigger. And Titans deployed and put at risk and stuff like that. And it's a major shoving match, I think, between NC, Guardians of the Galaxies, or Darkness, and CO2 now. By the way, that's a pretty remarkable comeback that CO2 is reconstituted. How did that happen?
I got a call on Discord one day when I was not on very much on Discord on Skype. I tend to go back to Hermit mode when I'm not replaying Eve. And Content the Care from Berka called me and told me, CO2 is reforming. Are you in? Like, depends. Tell me what's in it. He explained to me the situation, what we would try to do and achieve. And I said, yes, okay, let's try. But from the start, I entered with this. I have no particular expectation, apart from the fact that I can be again with some friends I had, that I can shoot people again in space that we have been enemies with for now some time. So, yeah, I take each day as they come, and I'm quite happy with the way things have gone. Of course, I'm not going to say that it's perfect. We have lots of area where we can progress, and it's not always easy to just try to restart from scratch, basically. But for me, at least, it has been a fun ride on its series. And I'm looking forward to see where this is will all go.
Yeah. So when the leader of CO2 was banned by CCP, it's not just that he was banned, but also that account was something that possessed a lot of the assets of CO2. And so you still manage, without all the wealth and years of gathering wealth, are managing to put together a team, which is pretty remarkable because it's not a small group. You guys have actually grown pretty big.
Well, part of it was we started with ruptures, which are cheap. So even if you have nothing, you can fight ruptures. They are very convenient for a restarting tool. Besides that, there are plenty of corporations that left CO2 when we went into dormant state, I would say. They went to other horizons, other aliens. They kept their unity. And once we told them, look, CO2 is reforming, are you interested? Many more came back than I was expecting, to be honest. And it was really heartwarming to see that they were willing to let go of their comfortable situation to just come back with CO2 and try again. That helps, of course, because they brought their own corporation assets. But it was the people coming back that really mattered. And for me, it's really important. So a big shout out from me on everyone in CO2 losers that came back and were like, yeah, let's play with CO2 again.
Cool. And even the ones that didn't come back that are still in NCDOT and elsewhere.
Oh, of course, not everyone came back.
You're fighting together, at least.
We are all free people. So people have we are human beings, and we have the freedom of our choices as a human being. There is no hard feeling to be had on that. Indeed, quite a lot of them are actually still in alliance that are blue with us, like Town Syndicate is in Northern Coalition. A few others are in GOTG.
Yeah, so you're still fighting together.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm not sure if freedom of choice is actually a thing in EVE.
You cannot remove the freedom of choice in EVE. I mean, behind the computer screen, there is a human being. A human being has, by definition, a freedom of choice. Otherwise, we would be a plant, an insect.
But why
it's debatable, yes, but we could go in a philosophical debate and stay there the entire night. Which would be interesting, but I'm not sure that's the point.
I'm sorry to keep interrupting there. But why do you think, Sister Bliss, there's a lack of freedom of choice?
Well, there's freedom of choice if you have no... What's the right word for it? If you have no self-respect, there's freedom of choice.
Wow.
If you have self-respect, then you have a limited choice. Is it completely free? Probably, but it may be limiting.
That's interesting. So are you saying that, like, if you do have complete freedom of choice, that the initiative might be out on their own, but because of political realities, you do have to sign up with somebody?
No, you know what? I'm just kidding. But it does come down to how you see the game and how you play the game. You know, you make friends, you make enemies over time. Sometimes you reconcile those, sometimes you don't. But, you know, this for me, playing the game is all about having people you love to hate, and that's the reason you play the game. It's not all about being in one Discord channel and, you know, sending presents to each other's kids, even if the people you're fighting are probably very nice people and humans, even though, you know, at behind the keyboard or whatever. But, you know, I don't think that you have freedom of choice. I mean, yes, you can go and do what you like, but ultimately things come down to political relationships. I mean, a lot of people are asking the question and have asked the question. I don't think it's been answered, which is, you know, CO2 pretty much died, you know, or was severely damaged by NCDOT. So to see them come back and be NCDOT allies, I think a lot of people will be asking questions about how is that? How could they do that?
Well, you know, there's another... This is very interesting, and maybe we should just dedicate the show to that, but the relationship between the Imperium and CO2, to me, is very interesting, because I remember during the Casino War, when things were really bad for the Imperium, you had the diplomat, the judge, who's on a podcast, at least one that I remember, where he was very much saying, we're splitting because we feel abused by the Imperium, but we also encourage you other alliances to leave the Imperium or leave Goonswarm's side on their own. And so he was kind of a villain from the perspective of the Imperium. Yet when he betrayed Gygax and essentially set up the situation that got him banned, which was a devastating blow that wasn't seen by anybody, at that point, he becomes a hero again. And I feel like it must be very confusing to figure out who you like and don't like as things change. And that goes right to what, you know, Test was also in the Casino War attacking the Imperium and actually making it possible to dislodge them with all their numbers, because that was really kind of one of the big, big groups that attacked them. And now they have to be in alliance with them. And it's interesting that the Imperium thinks that it's very important to try to mend that they put out a propaganda video calling for Imperial legacy, to unity between the two groups. Do you find that there's like any kind of tension with these kinds of like things that happen in the game?
I can tell you, at least for the Circle of Two side, vis-a-vis Northern Croatian Dot, there is no particular bad blow between NCDOT and CO2, even if we had a big war that ended up with us evicted from Tribute some time ago, well, a few years ago even. But I would say it's just business, nothing personal. So at the end of the day, alliance change, allegiance switch sometimes. But if some people decided they don't want to return CO2 because we were going to be allies with NCDOT when we reformed and we went to Verve, okay, why not? It's their choice. It's their freedom of choice. That's what I meant, Era. They have a right to say that. I personally don't agree with them, but I'm not bothered by that. On the other hand, I totally disagree when you say that Judge went from the villain to the hero, because I don't think anyone can say Judge is a hero. He was a convenient tool for Gunswarm to enact their vengeance upon Circle of Two, and well, props to Gunswarm for that. They played it well, but he's certainly not a hero.
I agree with that. I mean, I think anyone who does that kind of thing is just as, what's the word for it? I mean, they're just as culpable as backstabbing allies in the big fight. I mean, you can't. Yes, you can say that they were a tool, but you know that you can't really look up to them, can you? And unless they were planted there, which I don't think he was.
Well,
he was not a plant. He was just greedy.
Yeah. Well, it's just interesting how things switch. There's a lot of intricate maneuvers that have gone on, and to move people in mass to a common cause is not an easy thing. You have to get their emotions up. But if you get their emotions up in one way and the situation changes, you have to try to get their emotions away from what you did before and then try to build it in another way. I think, yeah, I'd actually forgotten about that, but NC did basically ally with you to take down the Imperium in the north. I'm talking to Sebastian and CO2. And then turned around, and I don't know why, I honestly don't know why, took you out of your space anyway. But you said it was just business, that they wanted to rent the area out, I guess.
Oh, I'm not going to go into that, if only because the diplomatic part, I was not very active at that point when it started to go sour between NC and Circle of Two. So I honestly cannot really say what started that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, more rotten space, disagreement on policies and objectives, on the way to deal with each other, I don't know. But these things happen. Coalitions are not set in stones. We have seen coalitions made and destroyed more than once in this game.
Yeah. Well, and we just see, like, I mean, there's a lot to this. There's also the looking into the pretty much, I think it's fair to say that DRF really wasn't helped by NCPL, who might have been old friends in, and so they kind of were destroyed. And then this new power rises. It's all about the people at the top and their relationships, and the people at the top actually change. And so relationships change. So that's all very interesting. But we should probably get back to Keepstars, since that's what the show's about. And we go then to after the Keepstar is dropped by the Imperium, and the Keepstar in DEW that belongs to CO2 comes under attack. Again, interestingly timed, to match the same time that Tess's final timer for their Keepstar in the south is happening. That would cause a split. Troops would have to decide, do we fight in the north, do we fight in the south? And that's kind of the idea. That comes into play again when CVA puts up theirs a little bit later. But CO2 magnificently defends their space by completely unplugging. Oh, well, actually, let's set it up a bit. But you have hundreds of Titans sitting in systems around DW. You have the Northern Coalition defending with CO2 and Guardians of the Galaxies, and it looks like a huge showdown is going to happen, and it looks kind of bad because of just the sheer numbers that the Imperium has brought. Carneros, what was that like on your side?
Well, we formed up big, and we got into position. And I'm pretty sure this was the most super caps the Imperium had ever put in one system at one time. I actually have at one point, I'm sitting on a tether of a Fortizar in low sec nearby, in threatening range of the target Keepstar. And I did my own little D-scan. And grabbed a copy of Local just for fun, and because I kind of wanted to see how many Bastion members were there, and that kind of thing. And I grabbed it, and from what I could see, there were 391 super carriers, 371 Force Auxiliaries, 320 Titans, including a couple of Faction Titans, 201 dreadnoughts and 186 carriers. That's a lot. So it felt epic. It's a little bit like that point in the movie where the martial music is starting to play in the background and you're getting excited. Anyway, so you feel like, oh, something good's going to happen. We're excited. You know, something's going to happen. All my friends are here. We've got our fancy ships together. And then and in the command comms somewhere else where I'm not sitting, you know, they're all talking to each other and occasionally telling us, shh, be quiet, or here's something to do. Jump to this sino, jump to that sino. Don't jump to any extra sinos, you idiots, like that one time. Because there was that one time when I think it was NC Dot put up a fake sino at the right moment with a spy in goon swarm. And we had three, I think it was two Aeons on a Nyx, maybe. Three it super carriers four, jumped to the wrong sino. And then 9-TAC-4 Keepstar fight. And they suicided themselves like a pigeon on a skyscraper. But so we're getting all ready. And if you have heard this story and thought, oh, CO2 sino jammed a system and then the fight was off. No, they did more than that. But I don't want to tell Sebastian's story.
Well, we only have 3 minutes. So we're kind of out of time, unfortunately, because this is really good. But Sebastian, real quick, can you tell us, I think we talked about it at the beginning of the show, but I guess I'll just summarize what happened. A sino jammer was actually online, which prevented any of the big ships from the Imperium to jump into the system. So they were essentially locked out. And there's talk about...
But they were locked out of multiple systems, not just that one.
That's true.
We were locked out three systems out in every direction with sino jammers on PASAs all over Kingdom Come and with massive forces camping the gates so that if they came right. in an in-gate, if they didn't use a sino, they came in an in-gate, they faced bubbles and just swarms of carrier and supercarrier fighters.
Yes. So they would have been a bloody, bloody entry into the system just to get to where they needed to get to fight. And this is a defensive fight for the NC, for the Northern groups, which means they have to show up every time. The next time they'll show up again. And at some point that tactic won't be able to be used. So it looks like it can be a foregone conclusion if they can't actually fight the Imperium's forces and actually win. Now, how did that actually happen that you figured out that you could online a sino jammer without any power, without any CPU? Sorry.
Well, because on the show info panel in the game, it's written zero CPU on the sino jammer module. What can I say? It's there.
So you looked at the description and there it was.
Yeah, but still, it's CCP, so you can never be sure. Maybe we couldn't encore something for some bullshit reason, whatever. So
right.
It was not told to anyone to the point that there is a Reddit post with a piece of stream when you see a few fighters, I think a dozen fighters bridging out, and some Imperium scout saying, oh, the evac has started. We were actually bridging out to another Keepstar where we had a stockpile of ships to worship if it came to a fight. But the thing is, we were not aware, I was not aware myself, of the sino jammer going up. So when we try to bridge back, you cannot put the sino because of the sino jammer system. Uh-oh. Problem. So in a way, that caught even me by surprise.
Yeah. Well, I heard a lot of people were surprised. Even the guy that turned it on, Da Vinci, was caught by surprise that it worked. It feels like, I think it's fair to say it was kind of a lucky, joyous event. But the showdown will continue, obviously, as the forces are still in place. And there's definitely going to be some more action there. Real quick, we only have a couple minutes left because of the World Cup that we watched. So the next thing that happened is that everybody raced down to fight for tests, Keepstar. Unfortunately, a lot of people weren't actually in the system because they didn't need to jump in because the resistance from test or legacy coalition was, although everybody was gathered, very few people actually jumped in, which is why it looked like a very small fight. but what you didn't see is all the fleets that were ready to jump in. So that Keepstar was eventually inevitably destroyed. Keepstars are worth about $200 billion, but this one was sold to Test from EFCON, who had it before, for only $100 billion. Still, it was a Keepstar that you would want to have. It just wasn't a very valuable Keepstar with all their assets in it or anything like that, like CO2s, for instance, when it got blown up in the north by the Northern Coalition. So at the same time, because there wasn't enough time for people to go down to the south, the double timing didn't really work for defending CO2s or attacking Tests. That didn't actually work. But what did work is CVA took the opportunity, they were prepared, to drop a Keepstar in their territory, which, if you remember, they tried to sneak one in. They tried to drop one. It got discovered quickly. And once it was discovered, it was destroyed by all the surrounding powers who do not want a foreign Keepstar near them. So Imperium came to destroy it. Test came to destroy it. And so what can be considered something of a small thing that CVA actually put a Keepstar into Providence is a bit of a victory for the North, because now there is a Keepstar there that, not that North would be able to stage in it because it belongs to Providence, but that now that threat exists.
We're out of time.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that? We have 1 minute. Well, instead of thoughts on that, those are the four Keepstars that came down in this very busy week. Real quick, Sebastian, are you looking forward to the next, few months?
Always. Especially as I have a brand new computer to enjoy this.
Right. And Sister Bliss?
Yeah.
You were so funny.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Yep. Oh, I think your first expression said it all. All right. Well, listen, I want to thank you, Sister Bliss, and Sebastian. I want to thank you guys for coming on. Love to have you back again when we have a full show and we can go into more topics. But I also am very happy to be celebrating the end of the World Cup, and congratulations to France. You're a football fan, right, Sebastian?
You bet. I am even a football player.
Oh, you are?
Girl. About as good as Lloris, as you could see by his stupid goal.
Well, that's great. Well, congratulations, man.
Oh, thank you.
Go ahead and celebrate, Seb.
Yeah, amen. Have a great evening.
I will. Have a good evening, too. And I will gladly come if you invite me again.
Thank you very much.
Also, all right. Special thanks to January Valentine and McLeod for helping put this on, and to CCP Falcon for helping out in Twitch chat, sir.
Yeah. Again, watch for live coverage and make sure you check into Open Comms, the Meta Show, and the other shows that are on INN. We will sign off for today, and we will see you next week on Talking in Stations.